Good afternoon. This is Tanya Schultz with Social Chats AWC South Florida. I'm live streaming with my co-host and president of Association for Women Communication South Florida Chapter, Dana Lawrence. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm trying to type and tweet at the same time. So. So what do you think of the weather change?
Yes, here we are, another Monday.
Yes.
And it was a nice cool Saturday.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, I actually look forward to the, every time they talk about a cool front, I get in my closet and look for a cool front kind of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so fast though. It was just Saturday and then Sunday it got warm again.
Yeah, that's why you gotta be careful. If the weather changes a lot, people tend to get sick that way. So today we have a guest on, and actually, I think we had Jessica on last week chatting about Women's Success Summit.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
So today we'll have Michelle on.
That's a beautiful event. Is she gonna call in, or do we have her on the line already?
No, she's going to call in at 12. What happened was, I don't know why, I was text messaging two different people, and then one of them was Julia, so I ended up, like, telling her to call. Somehow the wrong text message went out to the wrong person. So she had called in at 12:30, actually. And so I told her, like, if she can call back in at 1:30.
Uh-huh.
So she's going to call in at 1:30.
Julia Wakefield, she works with Michelle and Jessica, right?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think Julia will be speaking too at that Women's Summit.
That sounds exciting. Very, very exciting. I'm looking forward to this event.
Yeah, this should be a good one. Are you going?
Yes. How about you?
I was attempting to go, but actually this week is a little bit crazy for me. Every week's crazy for me, actually. I have Victor, so...
Uh-huh.
We have been in the process of redoing my whole house.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't been focusing on my house, and then my conference is coming up soon in Las Vegas that I'm trying not to go. So I have to handle all that stuff virtually.
Uh-huh. So what's going on in the news world? What's new?
I don't know. I haven't been online.
Well, it's funny, you know, when I woke up this morning, I was reading about Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, what happened to Lindsay Lohan now?
Well, Lindsay, you know, she was sentenced to 30-day prison, right?
No, I don't know about that either.
Okay, well, she was supposed to do community work and she didn't do it, and uh-huh. A whole bunch of mess, and then she was sentenced to 30-day in jail, but what happened was, apparently she went into the jail and then five hours or 6 hours later she came out and that was it.
That goes to 30 days or?
Yeah, that was actually reduced to, apparently she checked in at 8:50 p.m.
Uh-huh.
I think last night, and she was released by like next day at 2 a.m. She was already out. Because listen to the reason they released her. It was jail overcrowding.
Was she the only one released?
Yes.
So how overcrowded can it be?
Unbelievable. And it's this girl is such a mess. And this is the perfect example of women. And they have everything they need to make a difference and to help other women and empower other women. And, she doesn't have to be a role model just because you're famous, you don't have to be anybody's role model, but you don't have to be everybody's reason to talk about how not to be and how not to live your life, you know?
Yeah, but then everyone's put on this earth. This is my personal opinion. Everyone's here for a reason. So, I mean, maybe Lindsay Lohan's reason is to have people talk about her. She needs paparazzi.
Uh-huh.
But again, didn't Paris Hilton have the same thing? Well, she went away, but she didn't stay in that long.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the same. It was the same thing. But I thought about this whole mess, and I'm thinking, everybody, no wonder that all these young kids, they want to be famous and they want to be on the news magazines, on the cover, and just act stupid, because apparently you can get away with a whole lot of stuff, you know. She's been in and out of courthouse for things that she was supposed to do, but she didn't, and she just, apparently she keeps playing with the system, and it works for her, and it's so disappointing, and it's so sad, and I just don't get how people get away, you know, with the law, like, you know, manipulating the system. And but if you get pulled over for a ticket, you can't go around and not paying the ticket. And if you don't pay it, and if, let's say, you have a lawyer that fights for you or whatever, it's still a whole lot of things that, you know, you're in trouble for, and the points on the driver license and all these things, right? And it's just pathetic how people, just because they're famous and they have money, they get out of things like this.
Isn't what the world is, say that people with money tend to, like, try to get away with more because they have money?
Yeah.
And so the entitlement comes across, because since they have money, they feel entitled for it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, it's something that's, what the thing is, it's up to people if we want to sit here and pay attention to paparazzi information about Lindsay Lohan or people like her. But, you know, it's up to us. And that's why we're going to talk about, you know, Michelle. I love, I'm on actually Michelle's page right now. Michelle Villalobos.
Well, unfortunately, the thing is that the stories, like Lindsay Lohan, it's splashed everywhere around you. Like, the first thing I was trying to look at, and it's stories like that everywhere, and good stories. Like, well, I actually read on San Sentinel, is it?
Mm-hmm.
No, Miami Herald, that they wrote a nice story about their events, and I was like, you know what? We have to fight. We have to put up there, you know, good stories about women empowering women and women making a difference in opposition to Lindsay Lohan kind of stories.
Yeah, so it's up to us on how we want to talk about it. But people like to read drama.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way women are. So women and people in general, I mean. So I think that's why, you know, you I don't take it personal. I just think it's funny. I don't really pay attention, actually.
It is funny. I'm not interested in her. I don't follow her stories and stuff, but sometimes you can't really help it, because it's right there. It's like all they talk on the news, all they talk on the newspapers. And so I don't feed on drama. I don't like drama. But I also hope that the law and, you know, our law system makes it fair and right for everybody. Doesn't matter of their social status or income or whatever, you know.
I think it's really based on your attorney, though. It's the attorney that talks to the... So if she has a good attorney, and she has, and you have to look at the history of Hollywood, too. You know, look at Drew Barrymore. She was a very bad person. Now look how much better her life is. So right now, Lindsay Lohan, you never know. She might be the next Angelina Jolie, for all you know, with all her babies. You know? So, you know, you can't really judge, because Angelina Jolie was a little crazy before she got together with Brad Pitt. I mean, she's a little crazy now, but look how much she's doing for the world, as far as all her help with, you know, fundraising, all the different things she did in adopting all these children. So, I mean, again, you know, this is everything that everybody does. This is what they have to go through to get where they want to go.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as long as eventually she'll have to learn from it, or, you know, she will learn. You know, Lindsay Lohan will always learn from what mistakes she's made. Might not be right away, but she will.
Yeah, well, like a wish her luck.
So I wouldn't even, you know, I don't know. I'm stuff like that, I always think that that's just the way people are. They have to go through what they need to go through.
Yep, that's life.
But you had to send me a link on 5 Ways to Make a Killer First Impression by Forbes.
How could you like that?
I like it a lot. I like Forbes in general.
Yeah, me too.
So they have a really good article. And so do you judge people by your first impression of them?
I have to say that I am guilty of it sometimes. It all depends. I think the first impression to me comes with expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would know that I have to deal with somebody, and I would expect something. I expect the person to look a certain way, and which is obvious. I don't think it's right,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason it happens. So first impression, it's according to Forbes, is important, very important, and I agree that you have just a few seconds to make a first impression and on the person that you actually have to deal with. Excuse me. And sometimes you don't have a lot of time to talk about your story or to tell who you are. And just for the first impression, the way you look, it should be enough to capture and your audience and you know, keep it there. So thinking and judging people by first impression, it has a good thing to it and a bad thing to it. But I think if we think about making a good impression, I don't think we have to worry about it because it's covered. So it's like personally, it has two sides. Like, do you think when you meet somebody, do you think about their first impression they make on you?
No, not really. Actually, when I meet, to be honest with you, I've done so many networking and so many events in my lifetime, and my lifetime is not, I don't have that, I mean, I'm 44, but I've done a lot since I was 16 years old. So, with me, again, usually when I first meet somebody, I give them a benefit of a doubt right away, because I think that's, everyone's always judging people by the cover, like, what kind of clothes they're wearing or, you know, how they look, but don't really actually, listen to the person. So, I mean, I'm a little bit different because I guess I've become a little bit more cynical in a sense that I've been around so many people in my lifetime. So when I meet somebody, I tend to, like, listen very carefully on how they talk more than about what they're wearing or what they look like.
Well, it all depends. There is so much about the first impression that you can't really single out, or you can't generalize it, because, for example, I talked to a person that I don't like to go to the gym, and I don't like to exercise, which is not good, but, and this person, was overweight, didn't care about what they were eating, and this person said to me that I would love to help you, I would love to be a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the first impression that I got, if they never talked about being my personal trainer, I would have never thought about making an impression about who they were, right? So mm-hmm. The first thing, I accept everybody. It's, we all need to be accepted because it's who we are, and our choices matter to us, and nobody else should care about our choices, so which is fine. And I'm very non-judgmental, but if somebody offers their services to me, or if I'm especially going into business with someone, it's the first impression, the first few minutes talking about their business and presenting it to me, it matters. It either makes it or breaks the deal, because like this lady to me talking about being my trainer, you know, I said, wait, I eat better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
How? And I don't exercise and I don't go to the gym, but I live my life more with more rules, like talking about my health than you do. So right there, the first impression, she failed at, like, she puts together the image and the business. So I think that you are the face of your business, and I totally believe that you are your own business card.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go out there in the world and you represent what you stand for, you have to be in tune with it.
That's so true.
Because, it's not about judging people. It's about putting what they stand for, putting their faith on what they stand for. And that's how it goes for me. You know, and if I don't have to deal with them, or if I don't need their business, or if I don't need to collaborate with them, I honestly don't think about their first impression, what they make on me. Like, of course, if I meet somebody who I don't know, it's different than me, it's actually interesting to me, they become interesting. So the more different you are than me, the more interesting I become on who you are and your life story. But when it's business related, and I think this Forbes thing talks about meetings and business,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was telling my husband, I said, I find people that are interesting, they have this huge interest, they take this huge interest in others. Like, the more interested in you are in other people, the more interesting you become.
Mm-hmm.
And when you judge people, like if you judge people by their looks or by their preferences, you can't be interested in them, because you probably put them down because they're different than you. And which is, if you look at the children, if they look at each other and they're different, then, you know, it's such a, wow, you're not like me, you're different than me. So it's like a, like something that is inside our nature, mm-hmm. to see people, other people different than us, to see something that is wrong with us, which is not. But so judging people is wrong. Judging others' choices and preferences is wrong. But if you have to go on business with someone, or if you have to work on anything, you feel free to trust your instinct, and because that's your preference. You know, the first, when you, for example, you and I, if we decide to go into business, and I talk to you, and my preference is not how you talk about yourself or how you carry yourself, which is fine, but doesn't mean that I'm being judgmental on you, right? Or
yeah.
you to me, the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think the first impression is crucial in business.
Well, it is for business. Yes, it's very, very important, in a sense that, especially if you and also, you know, if you look at the Forbes article, the first thing they say is set an intention. So what is what is the intention of that person?
You know, mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, right, instantly that they're kind of like trying to sell you snake oil, or they're really genuine or real for it. And also the second one, in the Forbes article, they state, think about your ornaments, your clothes, your makeup, your jewelry, you know, make sure the things you're wearing, as your makeup, your jewelry, and how you're wearing, you know, is what you want people to see you as.
Yeah, you don't want them to be distracted by what you wear, to distract them from what you say and what you talk about. And on the opposite, you don't want them to be distracted by the lack of ornaments.
Yeah.
Or, so you have to, it all depends on the situation. It all depends where you represent yourself. Because if you go to a jewelry event, I don't know, you would have, people would be, taken, but they will look for your jewelry, they will look for your ornaments to see how you present yourself. If you go into a very serious business, I don't know, brainiac kind of meeting,
uh-huh.
you don't want to distract them from you know, you, from your makeup or hair or hardware, whatever.
Yeah, so that's so important. So, you know, so a lot of people, you don't want to come to a business meeting looking like you just went out partying all night. So, I mean, I understand that. The number three one that I thought was interesting too is, be conscious of your body language. Body language is really important. I mean, if I'm talking to someone and all they do is looking away, not looking at my eyes, I already know I really don't want to be around this person or do business with them. You know, eye contact is such an important thing to me.
Uh-huh. And it's funny because business people, they know a whole lot about body language.
Mm-hmm.
And executives, actually, they have to go to courses and they have to take classes about psychology and human behavior and body language and stuff like that. So everybody knows it. And the more you educate yourself and keep track of what, how you move in front of people and around people, it's very, very important. And like you say, if you stand next to someone and they're facing the opposite direction, or they keep looking around, like they keep looking away, you get it. They want to get away. They want to be there.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, especially like if you go for a job interview and you are being interviewed, if you look at the person who interviews, you can read the body language and you can see if they're happy for being there, or they're bored, but they're tired of listening to you, or the other way around. So it's very, very important. Body language is very, very important to know about it and to know how to use it.
Mm-hmm. So important. And then the other one was avoid bad days.
So, we all have those.
Who doesn't? I mean, if you don't have bad days, I'm going to be very surprised. But most people have bad days. It's a common thing.
I think this is, if you can, I would add to it, avoid bad days, because sometimes we don't have a choice. And it says, I'm reading a little further, it says, if you're having a bad day, stay home. If you have mm-hmm. that luxury, if you can, do that. But if you can't, I guess, make the best out of it.
Yeah, you should make the best of it. But yeah, just try not to, because they say that if you're in a bad mood or you're in a bad attitude, when you go to a networking, you're going to be in a bad attitude.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it seems like everybody, we all have it. Sometimes we're depressed. Sometimes we're anxious. Sometimes we just don't want to be around people. And that's fine, because we all do. We all live in the same world and we're made the same. So we all go through that. But avoid situations where you can be judged by that you know, attitude or emotional situation that you're in, because it doesn't represent you. It's just a phase that you're going through. And it says, the writer says that working out and watching funny YouTube videos before you go out in a social environment, it kind of sets you in a good mood.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree with it, because it distracts you from whatever you're thinking about. Whatever the bad day you're having, it actually brings your serotonin level a little higher, and it makes you feel better about yourself and happier. So avoid bad days. That's a good thing.
Well, that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think nobody wants to have a bad day.
I don't either. And if they do say that they've never had a bad day, they're lying.
Well, I think a lot of people don't want to admit that. I mean, because that's showing, inferior.
Or they might have a bad day, and everybody around them can agree with that. But the person who actually has a bad day, they don't want to. They disagree with it. Because usually everyone's around you knows if you're having a bad day or not.
I agree with you. And I think that's why you got to make sure you stay away from... if you're in a bad mood, stay away from people.
Or
think happy thoughts. Think happy thoughts. Because, you know, sometimes you can't help it. You have to go do what you need to do. So think happy thoughts. Because people can tell instantly. And number five, be interested and interesting.
Oh, we just talked a little bit about interesting. You take interest, taking interest in others makes you more interesting. And there are people who never travel outside of the United States or mm-hmm. outside of their state.
Yeah.
And which is fine, because right now United States is populated with so many other international people that it's kind of hard not to know things about other nations and civilizations. And but it's still some people don't care to hear, to listen mm-hmm. other people's stories. And I find that a little bit ignorant, because knowing who people surrounding you are, knowing a little bit about them, it makes you more interesting. Because if you go into a setting where people talk about different subjects that you refuse to learn about and you refuse to show interest in. Now all of a sudden you're the one that doesn't know what to say. And I happen to find people fascinating, and the more different they are than me, the more I'm fascinated about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I, there used to be like a clash between my interest in people and my attention span.
Okay.
It's a little bit contradictory, because I love to know about people, but I don't have the patience in my brain to listen, to focus for a long period of time.
So they have to keep you focused.
I'm sorry?
So they have to keep you focused by keeping you entertained.
Yes. So I had to, I'm still working on it, to pay attention, to not only to listen, but to hear. Because we sometimes we sit and we listen to the TV, but we don't hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Or it's the other way around. You hear it, but you don't listen. I think it's the opposite, because you hear the noise, but your brain is not tuned in, so you don't really listen. So that's to be able to be interested in someone or in something, you have to listen and pay attention. And Vanessa talks on step five, be interested in interesting. She says, if you are truly interested in meeting people and are open to learn about who they are, they will get this in a first impression. So being interested, it's a characteristic of your first impression, of your business card, whoever you want to represent. And people feel that because you have questions and you take interest in them. And I think that is very special when I'm interesting to somebody and they are interested in my story.
Uh-huh.
Just think about it. I'm like, wow, who are you? Where are you from? Wow. They take interest in you. And your first impression is about them is, wow, they must be interesting because they're interested about me. And there must be so it's very important to show interest in others.
Well, some people don't, like, I know instantly if they even care or don't care. And it depends on how I feel for the moment. Like,
uh-huh.
I either go through something else or really want to explain it to them so they can understand.
But you are very interested in other kind of person, because that's how you and I met.
Well, in life, it's always good to be interested in other people more than on yourself, because it makes it go by a lot more quicker and fun. But I think what happened to a lot of people is we all have our own agenda and we just want to get it out and tell people what, you know, we're saying. I think this is Michelle. Hold on a second, okay?
Call from
Michelle.
Hey, Tanya.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Fantastic. We're live, and we're on with Donna Lawrence. Donna?
Hi, Michelle. Hi, how are you? Hi, good. Welcome to Social Chats at our Monday show. Thank you.
Yeah, she actually, we got disconnected. Did she hit the button? Should we call her back? Here, I'll add the call.
Yeah.
Recent. Oh, I think that's her.
Call from Michelle Villalobos. To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
Okay. I'm calling her right now.
Okay.
I think I did get disconnected again. She's going to call me back in. Okay, I'm going to wait for her call again because I'm trying to call her back. And I'm trying to, like, find the keywords to Gulfstream Park, but I can't, so.
Should I hang up and then dial
no,
back
no,
in?
No, we're fine. It's just that she's calling in at the same time I'm calling her. Okay, here, I'm calling her right now. See? Here we go again. Here you go.
Call from Michelle Villalobos. To accept,
Michelle.
Hi, sorry about that.
No problem. Here, let me merge the calls in together. There we go. You were calling in, and I'm trying to call you back.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
So we're like, our wires were being crossed. It was kind of funny. So how have you been?
I've been great.
You should. We were talking about your article in Miami Herald. I'm actually posting it on Facebook right now.
Yay! Yeah, we were so excited to get that. Our PR person is fantastic.
So this year is going to be twice as big as this conference is going to be twice as big as the one you had at the beginning of this year?
Oh, I think it's going to be bigger. In fact, we were looking at our numbers mid last week, and we were way ahead of where we were at this time last time.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So before we start, can you give us a little information about it? I know a lot of our listeners have followed it, but just in case, just in case we have someone new, because I'm going to make another link for it, because we had Jessica on last week.
Oh, good. She's fantastic.
Yeah, I love her. So tell us a little bit about what made you decide to find Women's Success Summit?
Well, I've been wanting to do something big for a long time, and it was when I went to a conference around, it was about social media, and about more than half of the audience was women. I would estimate about 60% of the audience was women, and 17 of the 18 speakers were men.
Wow.
And I just thought that was ridiculous, that there are plenty of women doing plenty of amazing things that can get up in front of an audience and inspire that audience and teach that audience. And so I thought that I was going to put together an event with all women on stage so that we could really highlight and spotlight our female talent out there.
And you have a huge amount of women.
Yeah, we do. We have about, I think it's somewhere between 35 and 40 speakers, panelists, and presenters. And then we're expecting up to 800 people over 2 days.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking, I'll tell you that, but it's worth it.
I can imagine you said it's nerve-wracking. I can imagine that. Usually when we have events with women in communications, when we plan them, I get some kind of anxiety problem, and I lose weight, and it's not because I'm afraid that it's not going to be good, it's just because I'm worried and trying to make it the best. And
right.
And thinking about you planning this, because I understand it's your baby, Jessica said that this is your baby.
It is.
And she worked so hard on it. And I can't imagine, the stress and how you want everything to be perfect and great. And you do have amazing, like I was looking at the speakers, that you have the U.S. Marine Corps' first African-American female combat pilot.
Yes.
And you got some NBC news anchor. You have some wonderful people on your speaker panel, and I'm so excited. I look forward to the event myself.
Oh, so do I. It's funny because, I get so caught up in the planning of the event that I sometimes forget how amazing the content is. And usually it started about the end of last week, and then today, I've been interviewing all my speakers and talking to all the panelists to prep them for the being on stage. And that's when I become very present to how amazing they are and what knowledge they have to share. Because I get so caught up in the logistics of it, I kind of maybe lose a little bit of sight of what an amazing experience this is going to be. So I'm really getting excited now because I get to experience it before you all do, and I just can't wait.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's just like you have all these feelings inside of excitement, and you look forward to all the substance of the event and to see everybody. And at the same time, you have those anxiety feelings that, oh, I hope everything is going to be good. So it's just like a battle inside. So I Tony and I, we know what you're going through, and we're here, and I know it's going to be a kick-ass event. I'm sorry, I just cursed in the air.
It's okay. They're okay with it. I'm okay.
No problem.
So you have a ticket. This is a very affordable event. So it's not like it's not like hundreds of dollars where women have to like budget and save a long time before it. Or this is there. Anybody can, like, you pay. What do you pay? The regular, it starts, tickets range from $35 for 1 day pass. To 55. Now think about it. $35. You get what? 5 coffees at Starbucks. 3-4.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's $35 for 1 day pass, and the things that you learn, I stand and I believe that things that you learn that they're really, really, really good for you, the life changing things, but they're priceless. You can't put a price on them.
Right.
And you guys, yeah, and you guys put a price on it. You put $35 for 1 day, $55 for 2 days.
Right. Well, you know, originally my concept for this event was for it to be free. Now, what happened was that at a free price point, we filled up the first event to the point where we were overflowing. So I increased the price to like $10, then $25, and then $35, because we want to keep it affordable.
Uh-huh.
I don't want it to be a difficult decision to attend. You know, I want it to be something where people are like, okay, I'm going to go. But at the same time, we've had to keep raising the price because we can't afford a much, much bigger venue. So it's balancing the purpose of the event, which is to inspire and educate, with, you know, the profit-making side of it and the spending side of it. So we want to keep it affordable forever, but, you know, little by little, we are having to incrementally increase the price just to make sure that we can keep it open. Otherwise, we'll get overrun. But it's very affordable, very affordable.
It is, and I was thinking that there's so many freelancing people out there, I mean, freelancing females, that they just started their own business, and they're trying so hard to survive and make some money. And I was telling my girlfriend the other day that being a freelancer, it's so tough out those days, because there's so many other people there that are trying to find work, and not only find it, but get it, because you can find a lot of things that you can do, but it's hard to get it for your business, for your job. So, and then you don't make that much money, and I could never do that. I could never be a freelancer. I could never. I would. Okay, that's another topic for another day. But $35 for 1 day, it's affordable to those people. And this event, it's very, very, very important to women in South Florida, because they can make connections with other women in the same business, and women who've been in the business for a long time.
Yeah, and that's the idea. The other piece of it is the networking and the collaboration that comes out of this event is extraordinary. We have stories of women who partnered because they've met at the summit and done really amazing things together. So we take a lot of pride in creating that forum for women to connect with each other and support each other.
Yes, connecting is very important for yourself as a person, because you learn about other women struggle with, and what helps them, and it's very, and I think that being a connector, like you are, and Jessica, and Tanya, and I, it always to our heads goes connecting people with needs, and when that becomes your nature of connecting people, you see a need, and immediately goes to a person that can provide. Yeah, so living like that, and then not only living, being as a connector, but making this event where people come together and they network and they socialize and they can build a future together, or just inspire each other and empower each other.
Exactly. You got it.
Yes, and I see that the VIP ticket is $97, and can you tell us what that includes?
Yeah, the VIP pass has some extra perks that the regular pass doesn't have, although I think we might be very, very close to sold out on the VIP passes. A lot of people have chosen to take the upgrade, because it includes a gift bag, which Living Social, our presenting sponsor, is putting together. It's really cool stuff. And it also includes access to the VIP lounge, where we'll be serving goodies and coffee and cupcakes and things like that. It also includes the VIP Badass Cocktail Party, which Jessica Kazorik is hosting, and some priority seating. So we have some special, the seating up in the front is all for VIP pass holders. So, and I'm sure there's other stuff. Oh, yeah, the speed networking we're doing just for the VIP. So we really try to create a bundle of value for the people who, you know, who wanted to have take it to a different level.
Now, the $97 VIP ticket, is it for one day or both days?
That's for both days. And
wow.
We'll be, if we have any available, we'll be selling those on site for
$110. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if listeners think about getting a 35, the two-day pass, which is $55, it's just a little upgrade from that to the 97 VIP, and it's a whole lot of goodies and exciting things happening on the VIP area. So,
right.
And you have, I'm looking at your exhibitors. You have a pretty good, strong brand here. Summit exhibitors. You have Origins.
We do. Actually, it's funny because Origins was the very first sponsor that came on board for this summit, except for Constant Contact, which has been committed to us from day one and has committed for a full year at a time. Origins was the next one to come on board, and so we're really excited about that. It's a national brand, and we love their products, so we're looking forward to that.
And is it Standard Process? Isn't that a vitamin company?
Yes, Standard Process. They do vitamins, or actually supplements and cleanses. It's all about health and nutrition. And I've actually gone through a couple of Standard Process cleanses, and what's cool about them is that they have, you know, their supplements have, like, their whole food supplements, so they're not, like, extracting vitamins from foods. They're actually, like, I don't know how they do it. They get the whole apple, all the stuff from the apple into the supplement, you know what I'm saying? So they have a really nice reputation, and my personal nutritionist works with them closely.
Yeah, I know a lot about them. I just noticed them actually. I had saw Origins before, but Standard Process, I for some reason I didn't see them. I think I had them on the show before. So.
Oh, okay. Well, my Wednesday show. really excited about Living Social, which we have. They're our presenting sponsor. And, you know, people have been talking, there's a lot of buzz around Living Social right now. They're a very cool company, and they're very committed to small business owners, women small business owners particularly. So they're going to be on site, and they're going to be all over the place. So, and creating really fun stuff and giving away fun stuff. So not your typical, usual, boring conference kind of stuff.
No, you have everything pretty much, all your sponsors. You have anything that you would need. And then you also have Yelp as your media sponsor. That's awesome.
Yeah, Yelp. It's another one that fits. See, the thing is that women small business owners need leverage. Or all small business owners need leverage. And one of the major ways that you can get leverage in your business is by using social media and all these different tools at your disposal that are internet-based, like Living Social, like Yelp. These are all the perfect tools for a small business owner to be able to spread their message far and wide. And women are especially good at using social media tools, because we are so social by nature. It's in us. It's part of who we are.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm looking at all your different panelists. You add some more people in.
Yeah, I've been adding feverishly till the very last moment. I just added somebody today.
And of course, Maria will be there.
Yes, Maria de Los Angeles. We have some amazing people. Laura Doyle is a New York Times bestselling author, and I did my interview with her today on the phone, like our prep interview, and I was just enthralled with her story. It's such a great story, and there's so much to learn from what she dealt with, because she got, you know, she came out with something really controversial and got a lot of crap for it from people. She was dismissed as a nut job, and at the same time as she was being called a nut job and a wacko, she was also on the New York Times bestseller list. So it was really a roller coaster for her, and she shared how she protected herself, how she got through it, how she succeeded, and you know, the lessons learned are really anybody could apply what she learned to their business.
Yeah, it's something you got to go through a long journey to get where you want. But once you get there, it's a beautiful feeling.
It is. And part of it is understanding that the journey is maybe long and arduous, but that's part of the fun too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's the challenges and overcoming them. Otherwise, it would be boring. It's like, you know, food without salt.
That's true. And I think that that's where a lot of women will relate, because all of them will relate, because, you know, being a woman nowadays is a lot tougher. But yet, you know, yeah. we are in the 21st century, and this is our century. Women are just supposed to be the one that rules. Believe it or not.
It will.
That's been, you can, if you Google that, women in the 21st century, all you hear is how this is the century of women, where we control as far as the, you know, the internet and every aspect, you know, and we're more educated. We have a lot more to offer besides getting married and having children. I mean, there's a lot right. out there.
And I'm looking at the page here, the Women Success Summit. Can you tell us the address, the web link
sure.
that people can go to and find all the information?
Right. They should go to womenssuccesssummit.com. It's WOMENS, Women's Success, SUCCESS, Summit, SUMMIT.com.
Okay, beautiful. And I'm looking at the first paragraph that is next to your YouTube video, and we were just talking about how it's the time for women to step up and use the capabilities and their brains that God gave them and use them to the fullest. And I like how you say there, prepare to push boundaries. Because we're not encouraged to push boundaries.
No, and in fact, that was the whole, if you look at the website, you'll see that the theme for this summit, because every summit has a different theme, the last summit, the theme was elevate yourself, and everything was around the concept of elevating, you know, to a different level. So this one, the theme is risky business, and the reason we chose that theme was kind of a multi-part decision, but the real reason was I did a research project for a client on women in business, and I was just floored and disheartened and disillusioned to discover that women-owned businesses earn 55 cents on the dollar compared to male-owned businesses. In other words, while everybody is going around being miserable about the fact that women employees make 80 cents on the dollar, I had never heard anyone talk about the fact that women-owned businesses earn only 55% of what male-owned businesses do, and that 80% of women-owned businesses, 80% of women-owned businesses make under $50,000 a year. Not that they take home $50,000, but that the whole business generates under $50,000. To me, those statistics were like miserable. They made me want to cry. And so when I started to look into it, the U.S. Census has you know, looked into it, and they've done their own homework, and they've determined that one of the major reasons that women's businesses stay small is because they are more cautious and more risk-averse than men are. They don't go out looking for financing. They don't raise capital. They don't hire people. They don't outsource. So they're not taking advantage of all the different points of leverage that can help a business grow. So the whole point of the summit, being called Risky Business, is to examine and explore the idea of risk in all its different manifestations. So we're talking about financial risk. We're talking about emotional risk. We're talking about putting yourself out there as a brand and promoting yourself and being shameless about it. We're talking about raising capital, finding financing, getting government contracts, everything that could possibly have to do with going beyond what you've normally done to get the results you've normally gotten. That's what the summit is about.
That's great.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the problem with a lot of women is because we want to do it ourselves. We think that we could because we were told that we have to.
Yeah.
So I think just
because go ahead,
Michelle. No, go ahead. No, I love it. Go ahead.
Well, as little girls, we're taught to be nice, to collaborate, to say yes, to jump in and help, yeah, and to be helpful. And so what ends up happening, just as much in the workplace as in the self-employed space, we tend to, A, do it all, and B, be the martyr about it. Like, sort of like, oh, poor me, but I'll do it, you know, because it won't get done right if I don't do it. And then what happens is that keeps us in doing small projects, because there's kind of projects that, you know, people, let's say you're in an office environment and you're always the person raising your hand saying, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll go take the photocopies, I'll go get the coffee, I'll do this. That keeps you from the big projects because they see you as like a get it done kind of girl rather than the visionary woman or the CEO woman. And that happens in our own businesses too. We end up being the worker bee instead of being the queen bee.
Exactly. And it not only that, it become expected of you to do these little tasks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you are characterized by the small little task that you do, and everybody comes to you, like you said, for it. So all of a sudden you have this label, business card on you, as the little running things in the office.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens. And women don't realize it, but sometimes if they're in an environment like the one we're creating at the summit, they'll have that aha moment, like, oh my God, I didn't realize I was positioning myself all wrong for the future that I'm trying to create. And it just takes that one moment, that one aha, and all of a sudden everything else can shift because your context shifts.
Exactly. Exactly. And until as you as an individual realize your true value, and it's sometimes it's a battle inside because you know you can do it, but you haven't never done it, and that little fear that you have inside as a woman, it's not valid, but it's just there. So until you realize that you can do it and you take the courage that you have inside to do it and step up and defeat the little labels that have been posted on you, that you do coffee and little things to run the office, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I did it. But it takes a whole lot of courage. And this event is what's all about, because it empowers you to cancel that little fear and anxiety that, oh my God, am I going to be able to do this? What's going to happen? And am I going to be laughed at? So all that is, yeah, and that's where we come in. That's what empowering women, and that's what we're here for.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that the fear isn't going to go away. And that's the big piece of the idea of risk, is that you have to take the risk anyways, and you've got to be willing to fail. And actually, you will fail. And I'm going to tell you just a quick little story about that, because it makes it very clear. My dad took me skiing for the first time when I was about 8 years old, and he was in his early 30s. And so my dad is an athletic guy who's just every sport he's ever picked up, he's been great at, like racquetball, tennis, like even late in life, he picks up golf, and he only started golfing like 15 years ago, and he regularly shoots under 80. So the guy he can do sports, but for whatever reason, when he decided to start skiing, he made a decision that he didn't want to fall. That a successful day for my father skiing is a day that he doesn't fall. If he falls, he sees the whole day as a failure. Meanwhile, for me and my brother, we saw it as every time we had an opportunity to jump, to do something new, to go down some harder runs, we would do it. So we spent all day long falling. Now, my dad has never improved. He's still like a level 4 beginner skier. We go out in the morning on our separate paths because he won't ski with us because he says we're too hardcore. And he will come back at the end of the day and he'll either be in a great mood because he didn't fall, or he'll be in a terrible mood because he fell. So my point is that the reason my father has never improved in skiing is because he will not take the risk of failure in skiing. He plays safe the entire time that he's skiing, so he never improves his game. So the point of risk taking is not that you'll only succeed, but that you'll fail, but you'll become A, used to it, to the point where you'll just get right back up and keep going, and B, you'll start to know what to watch out for so that you can eliminate some of the risks. But unless you're actively out there and pushing yourself, you're not going to be improving.
Exactly. And here comes the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting the results. And we see that, we see that every day. We see it in our lives. We see it in everybody around us. Is how do you expect different results if you don't take risks on changing the pattern that you've been? It's like a circle. We go through the same thing over and over, and then all of a sudden there's an opportunity on our way, and there is a summit going on, and we don't want to go because we're not social enough, and we don't want reasons and excuses. And then all of a sudden, people that go there, they make connections, and all of a sudden they're out there. They took a risk, and it was worth it. So it's all about taking the plunge and do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So true.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing some more about your summit. I'm going to use your YouTube video for the social chats today, because I'm going to make a link for it, so I'll have it uploaded today. So
okay, great.
So you'll have the show by its own link instead of on the player. I'll have it on both areas. I'll have it on two websites. But I'll send you the link on that. So and
fabulous.
Best of luck to you. I don't think you need best of luck. I think you have a room full of women who are all amped up and ready to do it. And you know, you're empowering them. I think it's going to be a very successful event.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Michelle, it has been a pleasure chatting with you, and I look forward to meet you at an event.
Me too. The pleasure has been mine. Thank you for everything, and I can't wait to see you.
Take care, Michelle.
I'm here.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day, ladies. You too. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
Tanya?
Yeah, she is like that much energy in person.
She is so refreshing.
She's like that. When did you meet her? Yeah, when did you meet her? Her and Jessica together in a room, I'm afraid already.
I know. It's almost dangerous. And just think about how you are and how I am and all of us. Oh, it's like almost too much. But that's what the society needs. Strong women. Strong, refreshing women who know what they want and they know how they can get it and they know how to help others get it. So it's really beautiful, and I'm so excited when I meet women like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives you hope that there's other women out there who work hard to inspire others.
And that's a good thing, because I think we need inspired. Women in general need to be inspired. We have been suppressed for so long, and I feel that the more we have inspired women out there, good things will happen in this world.
I totally agree, and we were born to nurture and take care of everybody around us, and mm-hmm. we do nurture. Well, this I'm just talking generally, but so it's very important that we get the inspiration and we get the strength that we need to pursue our own dreams.
Yeah.
Because we constantly, we have kids, we have family members, we have friends, and we have husbands, partners, that we try to help and be there for them. And it's very important that when somebody's there for us and somebody helps us get what we need. And it's like, I see so many mothers out there trying, good mothers, that try to influence their children to, play sports, be the best they can be, eat right, and be good students, and make the best out of everything. And I'm thinking, I wonder, do they get that encouragement that they need? Because if you constantly give to others, what happens if you have a full jar and you keep emptying it out? All of a sudden, it's going to be, everything is going to be gone. And it's very important for us as women to take care of ourselves. And I tell that to men as well. But I'm a feminist, so I I am inclined to empower women.
Oh, I love it.
The more you give, the more you have to give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The more you make others happy. And I know that, you know, if you were born to make others to bring sunshine to others and take care of others, you have to get what makes you happy. You have to empower yourself. And because otherwise, sooner or later, you'll have nothing to give. And all you'll have is this bitter attitude that you helped others and you didn't get a chance to help yourself.
Yep. That's why you guys take some time to be with yourself and take care of yourself. It's so important. You can't take care of other people if you can't take care of yourself.
Exactly, and I think this summit and other summits like this, this is the perfect way for us women to refuel ourselves. Mm-hmm. and just me times, you know, to have a me time where we recharge our batteries. And if we recharge our batteries, we're good to empower others and to fully give to others around us and help them.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I'm always trying to, like, you know, that's my thing now, especially for 2011. I've been off the radar a little bit because I've been focusing more on my family and myself, you know, because I know, and I realized from mistakes that I made in the past myself personally, you can't help others and be there for everybody else when you can't be there for yourself. So
exactly.
You have to take care of yourself. So on that note, everyone have a great day. I'll upload the show within the hour, and then I'll make another post with the video of Michelle chatting about the Women's Success Summit. And it's going to be on socialchatstoday.com. So I'll forward it out. But everyone have a great day. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to Social Chats Locals with myself and Maria de Los Angeles. And we'll be chatting about what's going on in South Florida. Everyone have a great day. We will chat with you later. Bye.
Bye.